Now, the story of the Common Geeking Program, book club podcast where three people read up on a topic.
Why do you do these things?
And the one host who has to keep them all together.
This is why we hate you.
It's Arrested Development. I'm your host, Colin, and today we're talking about retconning.
Hate you.
Focusing on Arrested Development Season 4 Remix. Fateful Consequences.
That's
a mouthful of a title, but retconning.
No, it's plural mouthsful. It's plural, a mouthsful.
Many mouths full of words.
Many mouths of words.
Many the Arrested's development.
Yeah. I get it, because their last name is Arrested.
Yeah.
Have I been watching the right show?
It turns out you were development the whole time.
No joke, though. Like, actually, I literally just got the fucking joke of the title, like, a week ago of development, because they're fucking, like, real estate company or whatever they do.
The title is like a quadruple pun.
I literally just got that. I've seen this show, like, 4 times, and I just got that joke.
All right, so this week we're talking about retcons, Arrested Development Season 4, Remix, Fateful Consequences, and I am joined by two representatives, each of whom has selected a domain that they will relate to this topic and theme, and they are...
Which order?
I won't let you guys fight for it.
All right, hi, my name is Jeff, and
I'm glad you went, because Keen has a bagel in his mouth.
Yeah, and this week I'm going to be repping the X-Men movie franchise, so yeah, you know. That.
You can see where this one's going.
Hopefully.
Hugh
if you've
Jackman
seen
didn't.
The films, you know where it's going.
And our other representative.
To all you lost souls out there, you can call me Keenan Kodish. I will be portraying the Full Metal Alchemist series, mainly focused on Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
All right, so the term retcon is going to be the center of our discussing how each of these domains has been changed over time. Before we jump into the summary, is there anything else you guys want to say in our little opening introduction here?
Let's define retcon.
I have nothing to confess.
Okay, then I suppose we need no confession corner. I'll just play the music for 5 seconds here just to appease myself. I'm not going to do that. Let's move on to...
Nah, I was serious.
Yeah, top off the summary with that.
All right.
Yes.
Or we could put it here. Yeah. I don't care. Whichever.
Well, it would just, like, for people who don't know, it'd be kind of sucky. We were like, oh, now we're talking about advanced physics. We're not going to divide anything. Let's go. Anyway, so the tertiary area.
I'm sure those words were real.
Before I jump into summarizing the topic itself, the word retcon is a portmanteau of the words retro continuity. Portmanteau, meaning they smushed the words together because they were too lazy to make a new one. So the idea of a retcon is, like, in a fictional work, it means that the creator or someone in charge of it, it's fucking steward, I don't know, at some point went back and modified it. Specifically, I think the definition says, like, wait, I have it right here.
Yeah.
It offers a piece of new information that imposes a different interpretation on previously described events. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you change the content itself, but you could even change its presentation.
It's like...
There are a couple different ways it can manifest.
It's like if you have a good guy and then you get the reveal, like, after you've seen them doing a bunch of good stuff, that they were evil all along.
Though typically...
And then you have to look at all of their previous actions under that lens. It's that sort of thing.
The colloquial understanding is that, like, there is a diegetic interpretation. Like, there is an internal logic or accepted interpretation of a thing. And then something new is released later that amends or updates it. But the actual definition is a little more fluid within that. And I think that's going to give us a fun discussion. Because Arrested Development, Season 4... Fateful Consequences. To talk about that, I think we need to talk a little bit about Arrested Development itself.
Yeah.
It was created by Mitch Hurwitz. Arrested Development was a sitcom. It was a critical darling on the Fox Network from 2003 to 2006.
Same.
It was canceled due to low ratings despite universal acclaim for its writing and acting, as well as numerous Emmy wins.
Word.
The show had a unique feel relying upon its ensemble cast that facilitated long-running gags, intricate narrative climaxes, and personal interactions. It also featured a narrator, Ron Howard, to add an additional layer of humor. And honestly, I think that Ron...
You read all this out, or are you fucking reading Wikipedia right now?
Oh, no, this is stuff I wrote out.
Okay.
I am my own Wikipedia. I am become Wiki.
Oh, Jesus.
And it featured Ron Howard. I think that a big purpose of the narrator was also just to make sure the show made sense.
Yeah. Because
the characters themselves are very cagey and
well, yeah,
and
it's to like point out a lot of the jokes too, to like point out a lot of the inconsistencies between what the people in the family are saying and what they're actually doing. So the show is about like, it's about this like whack job family called the Bluths, and they're all pretty selfish in their own different variety of ways and pretty clueless to the rest of the world. And they were previously pretty wealthy because they owned a, I guess, what's the best way to, it's like a,
they own a building and development company.
A development company, yeah.
Construction.
And then,
much like Ron Swanson in Parks and Rec with his very good building and development company.
And then the father, George Bluth, gets arrested because, and then the rest of the show is about the family developing.
Oh my God, really?
So in 2013, I never caught that. Netflix released a fourth season of the show that featured a new format. Rather than overlapping ensemble episodes, individual characters become the focus of their own stories, with each episode overlapping with, and I honestly think it is an intricacy that would put the original show to shame. It should have been a huge success. It wasn't.
I think there are other reasons that it wasn't great. Like, some of the writing I don't think is as strong. But I think it's worth mentioning, I don't know how much we're going to talk about this, but one of the big reasons that it was done that way for the fourth season is because they shot it like a few like years later, right after the kind of cult success of the original show. And by then, all the actors in the show were kind of bigger and doing other things. They just didn't have the time to all be there at the same time.
Yeah, and a lot of people... So season four has a bad street rep. It's gotten pretty poor reception from fans, and it's pretty much agreed that it is not as good as the rest of the show. But that is a little bit of revisionist history, because at the time, the reviews were mostly positive. It was actually generally like pretty good across the board from critics. It was the fans who didn't like it, and interesting thing to me is that, well, it's kind of what happened originally, too.
Nah, it's like the reverse of what happened originally.
The critics' opinions also kind of changed over time, and I'll point that out in a bit, but Mitchell Hurwitz, because of the unavailability of the actors, he basically considered the entire thing an experiment. A lot of views were reciting, like, slower pace. It was very confused and messy. The first few episodes are a slog.
Yeah.
Basically, by having all the characters separated into their own stories, it didn't feel like the original show.
Right. Like, a lot of the jokes don't pay off till later in the season, which makes a lot of the episodes early in the season have a lot of confusing details that are, like, setups for jokes that you don't get till much later. So I think I don't know if you already said this right now, but you said to me one time that the entire season feels like one really long episode of Arrested Development, and I'm like, yeah, I get that to a degree, because that's kind of like how each individual episode plays, right? There's a lot of little confusing details, and you know, watching it, there's like, oh, gotta pay attention to that, and then later,
like, that's gonna come back later.
Yeah.
But instead of coming back in 10 minutes, it comes back in like 5 hours.
Right. Literally, so the entire show is just like about 1,000 fucking Chekhov gun jokes in one episode.
Yeah, pretty much. So in 2014, Mitchell Hurwitz, the creator and one of the editors of the show, he announced a re-edit, and that is what season four remix Fateful Consequences is. They took those different overlapping stories and they recut them, so the episodes now play out a little bit more like the original show. It has a 22-episode season of like 20-minute episodes. And they take all these storylines and interweave them so you see more of the characters at the same time. Ron Howard provided new narration, including a very wordy new intro that felt like super ham-fisted into the theme song.
Yeah.
But that is really the connective tissue between everything. I kind of found it got a little annoying at later parts in the series. Well, let me also say, I had Jeff and Keenan each watch the first 5 episodes of this re-edit. Jeff has seen Arrested Development many times. Keenan, as I understand, you're not a big fan, right?
No, not at all. I tried. I can see why people enjoyed it. I just, for some reason, which is weird because I kind of like the format because, I mean, I like Archer, and Archer has been described as Arrested Development with guns. So,
yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of the same actors, too.
Yep.
It's just weird. I don't find it that funny or entertaining, but I for some reason have seen other shows and with the same format and found those very funny, which is why I thought it was really weird that you put me on this episode.
Well, I think I'm going to definitely want like a different perspective. And I do want to ask for a sec, Jeff, I had you watch the first 5 episodes. Did you watch any further than that?
No, I didn't get a chance to. I did rewatch the original first 5 episodes and take some notes on the differences between those. But I ended up having more stuff that I had to do than I thought. Yeah. So I didn't end up watching the rest of the new.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things that ended up being kind of an annoyance to me was how later in the show it tried to mimic the original format very closely. Like, it even has like little commercial break beats, even though Netflix has never had commercials.
Oh my god.
And the way that the original show would work, because it aired weekly, is as the season went on, they would give you the callbacks to earlier in the show saying, hey, remember this?
Yeah.
And this show felt the need to do that too, but when you're binging a show, that doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they overcorrected a bit, and the use of the narration became almost too much like glue to hold that together.
Yeah.
Like, Ron Howard has so much talking to do in the back end, it might as well be a podcast.
Well, it was a weird choice to me too, because like, not only was the thing because of the actors not being able to get together for the original 4th season, but it also felt like they were adjusting to the format at which they were showing it too, because it felt more like you were expected to watch all of those episodes like really close together.
Yeah, and I think that's true. It definitely suffered from Netflix drift, where like because they assume you're going to watch it all at once, the pacing is a little off. But the Fateful Consequences remix, the pace is a lot more picked up. It's a little more dense. They also use some unused footage and some new gags. So one of my favorite jokes from season 4, and season 4 has some of the best jokes in the show, I think. The biggest, most successful one being
Cinco de Cuatro,
which is funny.
Which the remixes dropped the day before that. It was like, just in time for Cinco de Cuatro, May 3rd, we have a new Arrested Development thing for you.
That's funny.
But like, one of my favorite jokes from season 4 was the Sound of Silence gag, where whenever Job is feeling despondent or lost in life, it's just Will Arnett has a deadpan face and it zooms in as Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence plays over him. And there was one edit that they did in like episode 5 of this where Tobias and
sitting right next to him.
Yeah, it's like Will Arnett's character has the music playing and then Tobias also sits down next to him and has the music playing. So you hear two tracks playing over each other, not like synchronized, as they each have their own Sound of Silence, lost in reality, existential crisis. And it's like little things like that. The biggest thing is they reorganize the timeline. Instead of having all these different episodes cover the same period of time from different perspectives, they cut those different times together so you can basically watch it straight shot. There's still some jumping around, but I will say that for me, even though I enjoyed the original cut when I first watched it, this helped make it a little more coherent in my brain.
Yeah, I feel like the original cut was always better, like when you watched it the second time round, you know, because then you sort of know. It's like, yeah, it's got like the dramatic irony thing going on. But
I think the final things that I kind of want to say about this is that, well, Netflix did this to reorganize the series, and now it's really hard to find season 4. You have to like dig in the details of the show. But it's like, it's not obvious. They're hiding
it.
That's hilarious.
It's used as a ramp up for season 5, both to get the producers on board, but also for the audience, because season 5, to you listeners, released a little while ago, May 29th. We have still not seen it. And even so, the remix, it got mixed reviews. Everybody saying it's improved, but it's still bad. Like, you know, it's impressive. It makes an improvement, but like the core concept was still flawed. And the reason I want to talk about this today is that my enjoyment of Arrested Development, especially season 4, has fluctuated over the years that I've watched it. I enjoyed the season a lot when it was released, but when I watched it last year and we talked about it in another episode, I found I'd sort of soured on it. And there's revisionist history in the reviews of the show, as well as in the show itself, now that Fateful Consequences has been released. I'm always fascinated by the decision to backtrack one's own work.
Yeah.
Now, I patronize a number of franchises that have done this, but the Bluths have gone so far to fix their mistakes, I can't help but marvel at it. So unless you guys have any other comments,
I've got one question, actually. I didn't see any jokes about it in the first 5 episodes that I watched, but do they make any jokes about, like, having done that, because Arrested Development is the kind of show that could get away with that sort of thing, where like it makes jokes about like when they're running out of money and they need advertisers in like season three or whatever. Like, is there any jokes about how
they... I feel like around like the 2/3 mark, there may have been some throwaway comment, but to be honest, I binged it sort of passively while I was doing other stuff, so I missed some of those. There are some more meta jokes, like they use the word transparent to describe Jeffrey Tambor's character like donning a wig at the end. Because, you know, he was on that show. But, yeah, no, that's it. Unless you guys have any other comments, let's ride our segues to the domains.
The next season, will that follow the events of the remix or not?
Season 5 is going to follow the events of Season 4. I think it's primarily focusing on a political campaign by Lindsay Bluth. We will see more of the details when we get a chance to watch it, and you listeners may already know. Jeffrey, you've brought the X-Men movie franchise, an airtight procedure of movies.
Seamless.
With no issues, flaws, changes. Have you seen Deadpool 2 yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so, Keenan, have you?
No, I haven't.
Do you care?
Yes.
Then I won't talk about that.
Okay, then we will not. All right, cool. So, Jeffrey, why do you talk about X-Men when you're talking about retcons? I can't really think of
it. Yeah, neither can I.
So the X-Men cinematic universe is kind of a mess. First of all, I just want to say real quick. So the X-Men movie franchise is about... The central premise is that evolution has stepped forward for some people, and that gives them superpowers. And those people are called mutants. And they're, you know, it's kind of... They form like a superhero team, and there's kind of like an argument between like, oh, are mutants safe? There's like pro and anti-mutant laws and shit like that. Anyway, that's what the X-Men films are about in a fucking nutshell. The reason that I want to talk about them today is because they're kind of a mess continuity-wise. I'll just list out the films and I'll explain how they kind of fit.
Okay, you got X-Men.
Yeah, so we've got X1, the original trilogy, which is X1, X-Men, X2.
And X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Correct, yeah. So those three are kind of like a packet. Then the next one that came out was X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is a prequel, and it takes place... It follows Wolverine, who, like, doesn't age, so he's, like, hella old, and he's still Hugh Jackman age.
He's still Hugh Jackman age. In fact, maybe even slightly older Hugh Jackman age.
And it follows, like...
He's still Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll talk about how that one fits in later, but... And then the Wolverine, was that what the next one?
No, after that, I think it was First Class.
Oh, okay, yeah. So then after Wolverine. That, it was X-Men First Class, which is another prequel, which shows how...
It's like the 70s.
60s.
Yeah, it shows how Professor Xavier, who's like kind of the headmaster of the X-Men, and Magneto,
the X's man.
The Magneto, who is a Holocaust victim, who is the villain of the franchise, met. And it kind of goes through some of that. The next one was The Wolverine, which takes place after the original trilogy.
In Japan.
It did. You're right.
It's just like a standalone Wolverine movie.
Yeah, that's just a standalone Wolverine movie. The next one after that, which is the big important one, is X-Men Days of Future Past, which takes place... the main thing takes place after X-Men First Class, before the original trilogy. But it also has the premise of it takes place far in the future, where the X-Men are being hunted by a bunch of like Sentinels, which are like these robots that are killing them all, and the entire world is very apocalyptic.
And they reach back to the First Class era to try and change the events that led to the Sentinels.
So one of the mutants has time travel powers, kind of sends Wolverine back
before
in time
Origins.
Because he's the only one. Yeah, because he's the only not. In the middle of Origins.
Before Origins.
I'll talk about that.
Yeah. Keenan, you're trying to kill us here.
So she sends Wolverine back to the 70s, where he then goes interacts with the characters that were in the X-Men First Class movie. So those actors who are, you know, obviously younger actors than the ones who played the characters in the original trilogy. And the big thing here to talk about with X-Men is this movie does a retcon where they go back and they change the events of the past so that the things in the future never happen. But it also means that the events of X-Men 1, 2, and 3, the Wolverine, and the latter half of X-Men Origins Wolverine did not happen in the same way that we saw them in the movie. So they essentially erased all those things. People say they erased them from the canon. I have some arguments about that.
They didn't erase them from the canon. They, as a Star Trek fan, it's possible to have multiple timelines in the same canon. So they reset that timeline or created an alternate, however you want to explain it. And the only link between them is the fact that Wolverine still remembers everything from the original timeline as he enters the new timeline.
After that, the other inclusions in the series are Logan, which takes place in the new timeline, but in the future, I think.
It's not really defined.
Wait, really?
In the future. And we've also got three other movies.
X-Men Apocalypse, which takes place right after Days of Future Past in the new timeline. And then Deadpool 1 and 2. Which I think that we could argue back and forth about whether Deadpool fits in. Some people think that they do. It's sort of a loose thing. There are some things that make that not really make sense, but I'm sort of at time. So that's basically the summary of how... Basically, the big thing is Days of Future Past erased... Well, not erased, but like it set... Yeah.
Reset four movies.
There's still some continuity errors like in each individual timeline, and I'll talk about those a bit more in the discussion movies. But that is the big four and a half
pretty insane.
Anyway, so I'll talk about that in more detail in the discussion, but pretty much what
that
I wanted
makes
to bring
sense.
Up
all right
one
cool.
big
red well I don't know why you thought that was confusing. That made a lot of sense to me,
totally.
So you really just gotta like think about that a little harder. I'm not
Come
gonna
on,
hold it against
pretty
you but hey
simple.
Keenan, I'm sure that yours is
I've already lost the gold star clearly.
Yeah, please.
So Keenan, you're talking about FMBA, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. I actually did watch a few episodes of that show for the purpose of this podcast about a year ago.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me why you think I should be forced to talk about it again?
Well, I came out to have a good time and I'm feeling so attacked right now. Well, it's because, all right, so Full Metal Alchemist actually has two anime series, which is Full Metal Alchemist and then Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Now
it's the new Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, basically. So the thing is, though, the Full Metal Alchemist original series, as it's called, like original, was released, I believe, in 2003. Full Metal Alchemist was started to release in 2009, 2010. The thing is about it is that
you right there, you just said Full Metal Alchemist again. You mean Brotherhood?
Yeah, sorry, Brotherhood.
Brotherhood released
2009. Yeah, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood was released 2009, 2010. Now the thing is, both of them have wildly different stories from the other. They're pretty much the same up to a certain point.
About halfway through, though.
I would say up to a quarter way, and then they diverge.
I mean, quarter of one, half of the other.
So what's the premise?
Now, the premise is that there are two brothers, Edward and Alphonse Elric, and they're searching for the Philosopher's Stone. Now, in this world, instead of, like, science, there's this hard magic system of alchemy, which basically lets you transmute things from one form to another. And you see, these two brothers lost their mother, and so they try to use alchemy to bring her back.
Big brother?
It doesn't work, and they end up actually losing because there's this law of equivalent exchange. You must give something to get something. So they try to do it, and they end up losing... Edward loses his arm and his leg, and Alphonse loses his whole body, and his soul is sealed inside a big suit of armor. The whole point of the series is I'm trying to get back their bodies by trying to find this Philosopher's Stone, which is this legendary alchemy item.
Which supposedly can, go over the law of the equivalent exchange.
Yeah, that could supposedly do anything you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, in America, it is hard to get, like, the English version of the first Harry Potter book, so.
Yes, the Sorcerer's Stone.
Shut up.
It's a bit of a thinker.
All right, so now the thing is, though, like I said, about quarter way through the series, of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, it takes a very different turn. And Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is actually more true to the original manga than the original.
Because the manga was still being
written. Yeah, because the manga started in 2001 and finished, I believe, around 2010.
So what are the primary differences between the two? Like, what did Brotherhood change from the first interpretation?
The big difference I would argue, is one, the overall end game of the bad guys changes, because the bad guys are these homunculi.
Yeah.
Who actually, I can't even fully define what they are, because they're like fake people. They're like, well, they were made by magic. Exactly, that's the point. Because in the first series, they're...
Because that's the thing that gets revealed
later. Yeah, it gets revealed later in the first original series. They're revealed as, like, failed attempts at bringing back loved ones, like what Ed and Al did in the beginning. In Brotherhood, they're actually just extensions of this who turns out, because they turned out they're more tertiary villains than we originally thought, and there's a big bad that's revealed, and they are simply extensions of him, and he has his own master plan that is a lot more, I would argue, on a higher scale of, like, than just the original bad guys.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And, so, like, there's ahead, the whole thing with, in Brotherhood, right, the big bad is, like, he's sort of, not really a clone, but he's, like, an extension of Ed and Al's father, and they're sort of at odds. But in the original series, I think the bad guy just is their father, right?
Like, there's him, and then there's Dante, who is a character that was created.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Dante.
And that's the other thing about the series. They also feature wildly different characters. Like, there's Hohenheim, and
some characters,
you know,
die really early on. And
yeah, and some characters aren't even added. Mm. It's kind of funny if you watch the two series, because in the original series, there's this Brigadier General that's, like, this really big...
Yeah, he's like a big antagonist to the first
season. Yeah, he's like a big antagonist for a long time in the original series, and then in the second, in Brotherhood, he's like introduced like fourth episode, and then he's dead like he's 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was watching it, I was like, oh boy, we're finally introducing him, and then bam! And I was like, oh, well, I'm not sure where we're going from here now.
All right, Keenan, thank you very much. I now feel as though my understanding of this thing I have little care for has been enriched, and I care for it the same.
Much.
We get it. Yes. You don't like anime. Shut up.
I have much understanding to give, my child.
All right, so starting the discretion. All right, so now that we have entered the discussion, we're going to talk about all these different things and how they connect. Keenan, you asked me in one of the off sections of the recording if the story is different between Arrested Development Season 4 and Fateful Consequences. The answer is largely no. The actual plot is exactly the same. They do tweak some things, cut out some old bits, and add some new ones.
There are a couple things that inadvertently change some stuff. Like, I took a note on, like, you know, largely I was thinking the season was like, well, I don't really know if I would define this as a retcon. And then I wrote in my notes, first actual retcon is when Lindsay is talking to a character named Marky Bark and talks about how she knew his dad, who was a character in, like, one episode of the original three seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I always thought he would fall out of a tree and break his neck. Whatever happened to him? And in the original cut of the fourth season, Marky Bark says, oh, he fell out of a tree and broke his neck, and then says, oh, I'm just kidding, he died in some other way, right? And that was a joke. But in the new cut of the fourth season, he goes, he fell out of a tree and broke his neck, and that's where that's left. So the fate of Marky Bark's father,
played by the irreplaceable Clint Howard, brother of Ron Howard,
the way that he died is now different because of the re-edit of the fourth season. So in that way, the story was retconned.
Well, going back to the idea of the fact that a retcon is like it's an addition or an amendment that alters the original interpretation, I think this does satisfy that definition.
I guess I think I've always just thought of it as a strictly story thing, whereas this is just it edited the way things were ordered, but it didn't edit the like canonical way that things were ordered. It only edited the way we viewed it. You know what I mean? So I see what you're saying, but I feel like it's sort of a gray.
Well, I mean, to that end, I would also posit that Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is not a retcon specifically. It's a remake, and that's different. Battlestar Galactica got a remake, and it doesn't change the original.
It doesn't change the original. However, one is more canon than the other in the fact that the reason why Fullmetal Alchemist did what they did was because the author was still writing the series when the anime came out.
Yeah.
So he requested a original end to the
to the first show,
original, and that's why at a certain point it branches off. So when when Brotherhood was created, the series was almost complete, and they said, well, why don't we go full on with the original, and it's a one-to-one adaption of the manga of all the events. So in a way,
well, then that leads me to the question I have for you, Keenan, because It expands upon it, and it does offer an alternate viewpoint. Whether or not it's necessarily a retcon of the first anime, I mean, that's clearly up for debate. But it was essentially designed as a redo or another interpretation.
Yeah.
It doesn't violate or amend the original continuity. So how do these changes affect what came before, both from a production and a viewer standpoint?
Well, from a viewer standpoint, a lot of the fans wanted, once it was closer to finishing and found out like this other story. And in my experience, at least, I'm not sure exactly on what the critics, because the critics loved both series. However, I do believe that the critics leaned more towards Brotherhood, and also a lot of fans liked the story in Brotherhood a lot. So when it was kind of closer to finish, they said, well, we want another one, and we want the real story. We want the more true version of what happened. And so they said, yeah, sure. So much so that, in fact, kind of like Arrested Development in the very beginning, like the first few episodes that I saw, a lot of it is just kind of recapping and referencing itself. In my opinion,
the first episode of The Fateful Consequences is called Re-Cap'n Bluth.
Yeah.
Like Captain Bluth.
Well, yeah.
That's the name of the episode.
And I also felt like the next two episodes also kind of did that a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Just to kind of like catch you up, but it was very clearly made for fans. It's kind of like the first few episodes of Brotherhood it's very clearly geared towards fans. They introduce the core cast of characters and the concepts relatively quickly in the attempt to just say, all right, well, here you go, guys, we have to do this for newer viewers, but we all know who this is geared towards, which is the older viewers. And also, I would argue that it doesn't take away necessarily the original series. However, it does make the original series
like a punk ass bitch.
I don't want to say like less relevant. I do want to say not. What's a good way? What's a good way to say that? Like, this was the first try.
You could just say
Brotherhood,
that it makes it look like an unfinished.
Yeah,
version
it was
or
like
a first
a,
try.
Yeah, it was.
A,
no, I mean,
I would say an unfinished version because the second version is more true, and I would argue that this allowed the author and the artist behind Full Metal Alchemist to make something closer to their vision of where they wanted the story to go. Yes, they were able to make a good story, and I argue that there is a lot of really good points that I actually really enjoyed, like the characterization of Lust, one of the homunculi bad guys. In Brotherhood, I actually really, really, really liked. So much so that when they made Brotherhood and...
You mean in the original, you liked her?
Yeah, that's what I said, you know. But in
you said
oh sorry it switches me around. But in Brotherhood, her characterization is drastically different, and it was
like she's just evil.
Yeah,
she's got no.
She's like,
I feel like in Keenan's mind, Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood are like fraternal twins who almost look identical, and he has a really hard time holding a conversation with both of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's the thing that I think is, if I could just jump in about that a little bit,
please do.
I think one of the notable things, like, when you're looking at the two stories compared to each other, the one thing that makes it, like, not as clear-cut of Brotherhood just being straight better is that because it was made afterwards, it very much feels like the first about, like, quarter of Brotherhood is just, like, a really watered-down, abridged version of, like, the first three quarters of the original series.
Okay.
So it sort of feels like you sort of want to think, oh, the best way to watch it would be to best watch the first three quarters of the original series and then watch the last three quarters of Brotherhood. But it doesn't quite fit up in that way because some characters die who shouldn't have died. Some characters are still alive who shouldn't be alive. So, like, that's where, to me, it sort of feels like a retcon because it sort of feels like the branching off point.
Yeah.
You want to take the best of both series and put them together, but the continuity doesn't quite line up in the way as neatly as you'd like it to. Like, you know, when Keenan was saying, like, the big character in like the first arc in the original series is killed in like the fourth episode or the third or fourth episode
of Brotherhood.
Yeah. Right? Like to say that Brotherhood is more like the manga in that specific example is inaccurate, because in the manga there was an arc with that character, but that just didn't happen in Brotherhood.
Yeah,
not because,
like,
you know,
Boss
because
Brod
they were abridging it because they didn't want to show the same series again.
On this point, it's we're getting into a little bit of semantics about like retcon versus remake and some stuff like that. So I want to shift gears. Jeff, I actually do want to ask you a question.
Okay.
With X-Men Origins in particular, there has been debate over whether or not it is canon. Not where it falls in the timeline reset, but whether the movie is canon, because some people involved with the movie have sort of disowned it and others still maintain it. So X-Men dabbles in both diegetic retcons within the story and meta-canonical references, things that happen in the real world. And how do you think these differ within your domain? And, like, how does that affect our viewing of the material?
So I was trying to look this up, actually, because, like, I know Eddie had said that Origins was stripped from the canon, right? And I was like, okay, I want an actual source backing that, right?
Exactly.
So I was looking it up, and the only thing that I could find was an interview with... Hold on, I wrote down her name. It was, like, an interview at the premiere of Days of Future Past with Lauren Donner, who is like a producer for most of the movies in the series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the specific quote that I think people are grabbing onto here is she says, just forget about X3 and the first Wolverine. So
nothing specific, but like the attitude from the producers is like, we don't need to worry about those.
But here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you could interpret that as, oh, those are no longer in the canon. How I interpret it is this is at the premiere of Days of Future Past, where she's saying you don't have to worry about the events in those movies anymore, mm-hmm. because with what we're about to do with the film you're about to watch, it changes it, you know? So, but like we said earlier, that does not mean that those films are not canon. And if we're saying that we want to interpret it the other way, that in fact Wolverine is not in the canon, then we also have to say that X3 is not in the canon. And I think that's a lot harder argument to make, because that one is a lot more closely connected to the other two movies in the original trilogy.
Well, what X-Men Days of Future Past ended on was a note that once Wolverine's consciousness returns from the 70s to the aughts, like forward in time, he's walking around the mansion and you have Scott Mardson and Famke Jensen in there as Cyclops and Jean Grey, who both died in X3.
Right.
So I think it's fair to say that like all three of those movies were retconned.
Yeah.
And that there's no necessarily issue there.
No, but what I'm saying is like we're talking about the two different levels of retcon where were retconned in the continuity with this time jump in Days of Future Past and the producers deciding that those movies are no longer in the canon, not just the timeline but the canon, right?
So it literally is both a diegetic and a metacanonical retcon.
Right. What I'm saying here is that the issue is with X-Men Origins Wolverine, right? I think that most people want that to have been like hard retcon from the canon,
including Ryan Reynolds.
But the actual quote that people are deriving that from also includes X3. So I think that if people are choosing to interpret
X3.
Well, still, but what I'm saying is it's a lot harder of an argument to make because like X-Men Origins Wolverine was a standalone film. You know, it made references, but you're like, okay, that could have just been its own separate interpretation.
But X3 was like
continuity.
Specifically a follow-up to the death of Jean Grey and then Phoenix and all that shit.
What I'm saying is if we're taking X3, The Last Stand, to be in the canon, but now in a different timeline, I think we also have to take that same interpretation with Origins, which in some ways doesn't quite work.
Well, I like
because
Origins.
Starts in the 1800s when Wolverine is born. And then, so basically, what people are interpreting it as is that sometime while he's at the Vietnam War, while he's in the Vietnam War, Wolverine, he goes back. And that's when his body is inhabited by the future Wolverine. So basically,
in Days of Future Past.
Everything
I gotta shift the focus for a second because Keenan just said something that chilled me to my core.
What did you say?
Keenan, would you mind repeating the last sentence that you stated in this recording for me?
I liked X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh my god. I don't care. I thought it was an okay film on its own. I just didn't like how it connected to the other movies. And I think that the big thing that people don't like about X-Men Origins Wolverine is the fact that they
Deadpool.
like they fucked up the Deadpool character, who is, you know, a beloved character who breaks the fourth wall and he's a funny guy or whatever, and they had him act like that in the first scene of the he appeared in the movie, and then later, like, what made him Deadpool instead of Wade Wilson was the bad guy Stryker sewed his mouth shut and, like, gave him a bunch of superpowers, and it was supposed to kind of, and he, like, had laser eyes, which was supposed to kind of, like, mimic the look of the character, comic character's mask, which obviously doesn't have a mouth because he's wearing a mask, and he has, like, a big black circles around his eyes. So that's the main reason that people want origins structure.
No, the main reason I would argue, but then that is Sabretooth.
Yeah,
that's another. That there were some issues with how Sabretooth died, because, like, in the comic, I think they were cousins, but, like, the first three movies had Sabretooth in them, but they never elaborated
the first
upon
movie
that relationship.
Had
I mean,
he wasn't in the other ones.
So I think what they did in the X-Men movie series is they took the character of Sabretooth and they took the character of Victor Creed, who is Sabretooth in the comics, and just made them two separate characters who are kind of similar. I think there's an arguing point for whether or not the Sabretooth we see in the original series, who, you know, doesn't really have any brotherly interaction with Wolverine, is the same Victor Creed as in the origin movies. I personally don't think
so.
I think that they just split the character into two different characters.
Well, it'd be really weird if
this all kind of leads me to this all leads me to my like the big question I want to ask of both of you is retcons can be made for a number of reasons. The two big camps I think of are either that one, the creator has developed or altered the material and wishes that to be considered canon. I mean, like, you'll see that in Star Trek with Zefram Cochran. Tolkien wanted to do it to The Hobbit. It happened behind the scenes in Halo when it changed developers, where they just wanted to do something different.
Yeah.
Or two, the reaction to the thing has been negative and the creator wishes to appeal to the audience. I personally feel like Fateful Consequences is both, in that it was considered an experiment, season four. So not only did it go over poorly and they wanted to amend that, but also it was like, hey, I don't think my experiment paid off. Let me take the time to do this the way that we used to. So I think it's both, but
I sort of think that all three of
really quickly. I was gonna ask, how do you think yours falls into one or both of those camps?
Brotherhood.
Go ahead, Cam.
Falls into the this is the more, because original had good reception both among fans and critics at the time. Brotherhood was made though because the author now had an opportunity to finish the story he originally set out to make in anime form, and personally, I believe that is a better use of retconning, because I think you should at least try to stand by your work whenever you can. And I'm not a big fan of saying, oh, well, you know, we did it the first time and, you know, you didn't really like it, so we changed everything. I don't really like, I like it when it's when like in Brotherhood, where it was the author trying to make a more his more true vision come to the forefront. And I'm okay.
Yeah, Jeff, do you have an answer to that question as well?
Yeah, I do. I think that in some ways this is where I kind of agree with you, that maybe Brotherhood and the original series are not necessarily a retcon but a redo, because it would be more like if they took the original series and then introduced a bunch of new information that made it like the last quarter of it just like be inaccurate and they were all being duped the whole time and then went into the new ending. But instead, by sticking, and I promise I'll bring this into my own thing, but instead of retconning that information, they're like, okay, that was a different interpretation of the story. Now let's do the real one that we set up to do from the original point, which is what I really, really wish they just did with the X-Men universe, because like the fan reception to a lot of the stuff that happened in like X-Men Origins Wolverine and how and X and The Last Stand, like they wanted to strike those from the record so that they could continue on with new stories. But I don't see why they couldn't, if they wanted to do the new X-Men movies with all these new actors, I feel like they should have just decided, okay, that was that series, you know, we're gonna do another one. Like, we've had 1,000 Batman movies and
I think it has
Spider-Man
to do
movies.
Partly with like just making sure you're not pissing off the fan base and like want to include everyone as much as possible, but also there's a light at the end of this tunnel as Disney tries to acquire 20th Century Fox and Kevin Feige says we're definitely rolling X-Men into the cinematic universe.
Fuck.
Which
no
really? yeah Yeah, which you and I have had conversations about this. I know you and I don't like that decision. We'll see what happens.
No, I also don't like Disney trying to buy up everything.
Yeah, I think that's like the bigger cultural issue that we're facing now in terms of Monopoly.
I just don't want X-Men in the cinematic universe.
Yeah, especially as someone who watches all the canon shows for MCU as well, it definitely creates some issues. But yeah. Shifting gears back to our topic.
Yeah.
If either of you have an opinion, after all this talk about what a retcon is and how you guys view them in your own perspectives, do you feel that the changes made to season 4 are more in line with the original run of the show? Jeff, you have more to go off of, but Keenan, you've seen a bit of both. Like, were there things that stood out to you as improvements or things that felt like failures? Like, I want to get your thoughts on the 5 episodes that you watched.
Keenan, if you want to go first, you can, but I've got things to say.
Sure. One, the watermark. Beautiful touch.
Whenever they use the original Fox footage.
Also, because I'm a jerk, I paused it a few times where they green screened actors in, but they didn't realize at the last second it cut off sometimes someone's hand or something. They reached too far and then they lost 3 fingers. I would say that to me at least, because I didn't really watch the original series. I would say that it did still feel like Arrested Development as far as I knew it. You know, I didn't watch and go, man, this is very different from the original series. I thought, this is about the same. I remember this. And my enjoyment of it didn't really detract from the fact that it did feel like the original. Now, that feeling for you guys is one of enjoyment. Mine happened to be one of indifference. However, it was the same feeling. It did feel like Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. And I thought in that way it was improved.
It's good. Jeff, sorry, go ahead, Keenan.
Yeah, so my big thing is I don't think it necessarily made it feel more like the original series. And to me, it kind of the remix kind of detracts from it. Because the original cut of the 4th season, I think, does have problems, but I think that the experimental way in which they paced things to make the whole, thing, one long episode, I think is actually its strongest selling point.
It was interesting.
Because it's not going to feel like the original series, because the writing is just, a little bit different, you know? They give some characters a bit more depth, they give some characters a bit less depth, and they have them act in slightly different ways that are a bit more slapsticky. So yeah. I feel like having the original format of the 4th season makes it obviously different enough so that you can watch that and be like, oh, this is why it feels different because of that format. But then when you put it back in the original format of the original series and then you watch it, you're like, oh, it still feels different even when it's organized the same way. And that makes it feel like that sort of almost made me appreciate the 4th season less than I did before, because it made me feel like, oh, I guess that wasn't the reason that it felt slightly off and I felt like I had to roll with it. It actually is a lot
and
of
I'm,
the writing.
I'm personally never a person who's like, oh no, a new interpretation. I'm always open to when my franchises evolve. I very much enjoy it. I'm one of the Trekkies who likes Star Trek Into Darkness and Next Generation. It happens. But with this show, I was open to season 4. And the remix, I don't know, the remix definitely made it make a little more sense to me. But I think it's
unnecessary, though, honestly.
I can't even say it's unnecessary, because the street rep of this thing.
I think they should just push forward to season 5, honestly.
I think they one, wanted a way to try and appease fans that didn't like it, and two, wanted a reason to generate buzz as season 5 came out, because it came
that's
out
fair.
May 3rd, season 5 came out May 29th, which that's a little bit of time retconning for our real life timeline recording here on the 24th. So this, I don't know. I think that the changes, I'm not against them. I think I enjoyed both versions of season 4, but there was something about the original that I may have enjoyed more than the remix. And the remix is trying to take something built for a different concept and shoehorn it into something else to surprisingly pretty effective results.
Oh, yeah, it's impressive in the way that it does it.
Mm-hmm. But so I do want to shift a little bit. So every episode we try to take user questions, if there are any. We make posts on Facebook usually every Monday, inviting you to leave questions on a topic we're about to record. And we got 2 questions from one of our listeners. Michaela asks 2 questions about Arrested Development. So, firstly,
not even
do you
say
know
her last name?
We can't.
You got to cut for time here. I got to cut for time.
No, Jeff, didn't you hear? I said her last name, but in editing, I went and retconned it.
Yeah, duh.
So, do you know First question. Do you know the certifications required to be an analropist? Asking for a friend.
Forgot about that question.
Analropist is one of the best running gags in the show, where David Cross's double speaking character, Tobias, is an analytical therapist, and he has business cards that says he's an analropist, which written out looks like anal rapist.
Like, the whole joke with his character is that he says a bunch of things that, you know, make him sound like a child molester or just, like, really gay.
Daddy's got to get his rocks off.
Yeah.
So, Keaton, I would actually like you, if you had to guess, what are the certifications required to be an analropist asking for a friend?
You have to have a driver's license, obviously. That's very clear. You have to have... It's preferred that you have a large windowless van. I would hope... Perhaps STI testing, you know, every few months, you know, would be nice. Blatant disregard for women's rights, I think, you know, like, you'd have to be a meninist or, like,
Have it in spades.
I think that's what you, it's no formal education, though, which is really nice because you could just jump right in there.
Oh my god.
It's a growth industry.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's a growing industry, not a showing industry. So the second question, just as on topic, fuck, marry, kill Lucille, Lucille 2, or a loose seal. Now, I have a problem with this question because as of the
which one has the money at the end?
Technically, Lucille 2 has
all right,
the most
then
money.
I do all three to her.
I have a problem with this question because as of season four, there are two interpretations of the loose seal. One,
true,
an actual seal swimming in the ocean, and two, a giant badge seal on a wall swinging off of its supports.
I'm going to answer that one for you right now. Michaela has not seen season four yet, so she is talking about the animal.
I'm going to go ahead and retcon that. Michaela, thank you for including such a double-layered joke in your question. fuck, marry, kill.
Can I jump in on this one?
Oh, you can jump in on this one.
All right. So I think the answer that I'm going to have to go with, all right, is I think we're going to have to kill Lucille 1.
The worst.
Because she's
obviously
terrible. She's like an awful person. And for the sake of... See, I would want to say marry Lucille 2, but I can't fuck a seal. So I think we're going to have to marry the seal and
Lucille 2.
You know? I think that's the way it's going to have to go. And, you know, she's fucked like half the characters in the show, so...
Why don't we just fuck, marry, kill Lucille 2, who has all the money? That way, not only do we enjoy ourselves... We also get to see the...
Are you saying that we're going to fuck, marry, and kill Lucille, too?
Oh,
is that what you're suggesting?
You're taking a different tack on this game.
Because that way, we get to have our rocks off, we get to engage in the beautiful event that is marriage, and also we get to enjoy killing someone and get all her money afterwards. So I think that's really the best one.
I guess the alternate answer is killing the seal and fucking Lucille 1. But
yeah,
I just feel like the seal doesn't deserve it. That's like the ethical answer.
Well, no, it's not about her. It's about you. This is a selfish question.
Of course it is.
I would definitely go Lucille Bluth, fuck. Lucille 2, marry for the money. And loose seal, kill, because he took off Buster's hand, and he's like the most innocent person in the family until season 4. He is the creepiest, for sure. All right, I think that just about wraps up the discussion. Thank you all for that. We're going to swing on over to the ratings.
You don't think Joe is creepy?
You're right.
Forget me now.
Wait, by the way, I'm just really, real quick, I need to ask this question. Okay, I am, because I don't really have any knowledge, I am so confused about Job's relationship with the 17-year-old. Like, what the actual shit?
He's his father.
Anne, egg, her.
Right. Anne was.
I got
George,
that.
Michael's
but aren't
she
17
then,
or like 15 or something? Like, what?
No, she's older than 17. George Michael at the point where they get together in the series proper, I believe.
She was turning 18 in a few hours, and that is just. It is just all sorts of creepy, and they had sex, and
Job Bluth is not a sympathetic character.
I felt uncomfortable watching it.
I would say The best way I've ever heard this show described is in reference to another program called The Big Bang Theory, of which many of us on the show are clearly professed fans of. I can't stand it. The Big Bang Theory, I heard someone describe it as Big Bang Theory is stupid humor about smart people. And Arrested Development is smart humor about stupid people. Everybody in the cast is detestable. And some people even like Jason Bateman's character. But once you get to season four, man, he's a real dirtbag.
He has he has a few, like, he plays the straight man, but he's got a lot of moments that are like, you're a member of this family. Yeah.
Well, season four is literally, I think, his fall. Like, the end of it is him fucking over his son, going against everything he ever said. We're in the ratings now, as you could tell by us clearly rating things in our discussion. The rating section is where I have each of these representatives rate the topic 1 out of 5, and then I choose which one I think best contributed to the conversation. So, I'm going to have you guys rate what you saw of Arrested Development Season 4 Remix, Fateful Consequences, A Mouth's Full of a Title. I'm going to have you rate it 1 out of 5 huge mistakes.
All right, geez. I don't know, because I feel like I should be rating it in comparison to the original.
You don't have to. It's a retcon. Yeah. More or less, Netflix wants us to be the canon version. What'd you think of the 5 episodes you watched on their own?
Yeah, on their own, I think I'm going to have to give it a, because now I'm comparing it to the original series, too. No, I'm going to have to give it a 4 out of 5. Because obviously we're not talking about the original series, but I think I would give the original series a 5 out of 5. It is one of my favorite shows. So it is not as good, I think, as the original series, but it does have a lot of really good jokes, and it does have a lot of charming moments. And as much as I think that the decision to do the remix was weird, but I think that each of those versions are not, like, a whole lot better or worse than each other. I think that I'd probably like the original season 4 a little bit better. But I don't know. I think that it actually doesn't affect it as much as it seems like it might.
Yeah.
And a lot of the jokes still play in the same way, just about when they happen is different. Yeah. So I think I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Cool. Keenan, how about you? How many out of 5 huge mistakes would you give this remix?
I've made a huge mistake.
I want to preface my rating with the fact that I have watched very little of the season beforehand. And if it's just of these 5 episodes, which perhaps pan out differently if you watch the whole season, but in the 5 episodes I saw, I'm going to have to give it one huge mistake. Just because I...
It is.
You thought that it was.
You're
all
just calling
one
season
huge
four.
I'm actually talking
mistake.
About the first 5 episodes. Maybe if I had more of a running knowledge of Arrested Development, and maybe if I finished the whole season, I would have more enjoyment. But when you come right down to it, there was only a few jokes that I chuckled at, and the rest I didn't really super enjoy. I thought that the jumping back and forth and over-explaining almost every single episode got really frustrating to watch, because I was tuning out, because we already talked like 5 times. I'd already watched the same scene at the like maritime jail, police station, wherever they were.
Yep.
Like 5 different times from only slightly.
Whereas in the original cut of the show, you see all those different cuts of the scene, but like spread over the entire season, not all concentrated into one section. And that's where I think the remix doesn't work as well.
I feel like they did do a lot of over-explaining in the original 4th season too, though.
They did. I think it's because they had to reorganize the timeline.
Make references to the original show. Yeah.
The concentration of it is definitely more. So I want to thank you both for your ratings and your contributions. If I add them together, this show got a 5 out of 5. So that's cool.
No, they got a 5 out of 10. That's not how that works.
I do fractions my way, you do fractions your way.
Add fractions.
So, you don't add the denominator. So, the,
Well, true. No, you're right. But, never mind.
I need to now award a Gold Star student to whom I think contributed best. And mostly, what I liked about this conversation is that you both knew a lot about each other's domains, so allowed a lot of flexibility there. And Keenan, I am glad that you knew less about the source, because it allowed me to riff to sort of get two different perspectives on this, which is what I wanted. And I'm awarding this Gold Star Student Award based on mostly how you relate it to the definition of retcon and how I think you answered my questions, not just about all the information you brought to the table, because you both know a lot about what you're discussing. So I am awarding the golden back copy of the book The Man Inside Me by Tobias Funke.
All right, that's pretty funny.
I'm awarding you the golden man inside me.
Who?
To Keenan Kodish.
Oh, okay.
God damn it. Yes. Did I fucking not tell you this would happen? I hung out with Keenan yesterday. I said, you're going to win because you know less.
That is not why, because specifically I think what I want to call out, it's not because he knew less, it's because more of what he said was, I think, conversational and debatey, and you, like, Jeff, I could talk to you for hours about Arrested Development and about X-Men and how all this shit ties together. I just think that in this conversation, it brought a little less insight than it did information, and it was a fine line because I was leaning you for most of it, and then in the discussion, sort of tipped my head the other way. But either way, Keenan, well earned. Jeff, well presented. Thank you both. I love you both.
Can I actually say something that I was going to say at the beginning of the episode, but I totally forgot to?
Yeah, we'll retcon it.
Something that I noticed, shut up, is that, so this is the first episode of yours that I've been in since episode one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I fucking went back and I read my schedule and I was just like, how has that not happened?
I've been in so many of yours.
We're in episode 60. Yeah, I've been in plenty of the same episodes as you, and you've been in plenty of mine, but like, we are now episode fucking 67 of the podcast. And this is the first time that I've been in your episode with the actual format.
That's interesting. Well, hey,
I think I was gonna be, but then you were like, oh, we're doing the Star Trek special, let's put other person in there. And they're like, then the next cycle was like, oh, I want to do the music episode, so I put specific people in there. So it's been a few things like that.
So you have been silently passing over my episodes. So while Keenan may have the book, The Man Inside Me, you've been the man inside me the
Jesus
whole time.
Christ.
That's now canon. Now you know. Try to listen to the podcast again. You'll hear all the hints.
The podcast.
Now this is the point where you're going to retcon who you gave the Gold Star Student Award to, right?
So that about wraps it up for the week. I want to thank you both for joining, and thank you all for listening. My name is Colin Ketchin. You can find me online at SonicColinK on like Twitter and Facebook and Xbox and YouTube and SoundCloud and a couple other places. I have again been joined by...
Hi, my name is Jeff Levitt. The place you can find me is on Instagram. My tag is Things I Wish Existed with a dot between each word. And that's it. I have a Facebook, but you wouldn't find much there. So.
We would find horoscopes.
When you look up.
Do those still post?
Yeah, they do.
I don't even see those.
And you feel a sense of wonder about the stars and where you came from. You are feeling something close to what I am. Something so far above you and so much larger than you can possibly comprehend. That is Keenan Kodish. All hail me.
It's a growth industry.
If we could retcon this sentence back a couple sentences, I just want to say that I fucking looked up my horoscope on Facebook in like the first month that I had a Facebook in like 10th grade, and apparently those have been posting on my wall every like fucking week or day or whatever since
I get a notification all the time.
I've had no idea.
All right, so next week our episode will be hosted by...
Oh, is that me? Yes.
Is you?
Yes, it is I, once again, your glorious leader and inspiration. I will be...
I don't think you get to tell us that you're our inspiration, but go on.
Colin, your simple mind is not yet open to what I can offer, and that is a shame when the dark times come and you will be consumed. But we will be talking about, we'll be focusing mostly on the game Until Dawn. We will be talking about how community and multiplayer affects games and how maybe, and like, I want to also see if like, we can branch off and talk about how games are used in ways that the creators didn't design.
Yeah, cool. So that that episode is going to air on the 22nd, a week from today. So be sure to tune in then and follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP, I've even been taking some likes lately as well, likes on posts and pages, will enter you into a raffle. where you get to pick the topic for
the future.
That's the
kind of behavior that got Keenan's mom as one of our winners, all right?
Yep.
Oh, really?
It is. And that's why I've been reaching out to confirm from now on. Everything's
that's
fine.
That's why I told you we shouldn't do that to begin with.
Right. But reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help to growing our show, and we'll read new reviews on the air. Anyway, thanks for listening, subscribing, sharing, everything, and we'll talk to you next week. Now, for the credits. This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Colin Ketchin, joined by Jeffrey Levitt and Keenan Kodish. The podcast is sponsored by Imagine Entertainment. It's not. The podcast is created and produced, though, by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by Colin Ketchin, me, and also featuring original music by me. On the next Common Geeking Program, Keenan Kodish is going to talk about Until Dawn, so be sure to tune in next Friday for that, and in the meantime, thank you for listening to this.
Fuckers!
Mine was like a second to it.
That didn't sound right.
Early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you clap a second too early, or was your timer
no,
a second
I
too
clapped
early?
A second too early. I thought a second. No, I thought the second would pass quicker.
He was too ready.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, let's try, just for my sanity, let's go at 6:35, 10 right. seconds.
Okay.
My cat is purring so loud right now.
I can't hear it.
I know, but I can.
And 5 seconds!
Not very far away. Thank you for reminding me. I almost forgot.
Nice.
I'm going to assume Keenan got it. He's just
yeah. not. You're frozen.
I was waiting for the clap. I was just like, is he really that far beyond?
Keenan Kodish
now
left.
You're both,
all right,
fuck
let's
you
get
guys.
Him back in here.
Fucking pieces of shit.
I was like, was it that perfect or was he really far behind?
You fucking scumbag pieces of shit. Fucking exiting out the car, you scumbags.
Oh, you're frozen for me too. I mean,
you're frozen.
It's not your.
God damn it. You guys have been frozen this whole time.
Keenan, can you say something?
No, he's
oh, he left again.
Oh my god! Fucking pieces of shit. Better fucking stop hanging up on me. You better stop fucking hanging up on me.
Clearly,
Jeff, we're
us.
Trying really hard to get rid of him, and he won't stay gone.
No, like seriously, like you guys, I haven't frozen once. You guys have both frozen, and then you're like, "Oh, why are you frozen?" I'm like, "No, you guys are fucking
right.
frozen.
It's clearly
goddamn
our
ice kings."
I'm not frozen. You are.
No, it's just it's objectively true.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Fuck. Good thing that this is all our recording is already synced up, you fucking scumbags.
Did you get the clap?
Yes, I clapped.
Fuck, I said it again.
Then it's okay. So we're fine. All right, let's move forward.